Page Tav Kuf Chav Beis. We're up to halach, in the middle of Dalet. Let's try to go, because I'm really eager. I'm so eager to go to the English books. I have all these nice English books about Muksa. They're very interesting. A lot of practical cases. So let's try to finish the halach. There's only a few pages in the Chai Adam. I think I'm out of your page. I ran out of that page, Chav Beis. This is another one for you.
I'll look over somewhere. It's okay.
Let's see if I have another one here. Here, I got one for you. Okay, let's continue. So we're up to page Tav Kuf Chav Beis Halacha Dalid. Kalim, let's try to go quickly. Kalim Shemalachna Liyisrab Kumavor La'el Klal Simenei. We did this, we started this yesterday, we got sidetracked. A Kli Shemalachna Liyisrab, a hammer, or a telephone. We discussed telephones and not so similar, because when you move them around, there might be some things happening. But in any event, mehem makse daite machmas isuron. We learned the lamdas yesterday, the very important diuk in the words of the Chai Adam. The reason why they are muksas, not because they themselves are objects that are used for malach, it's because the person in his mindset, when Shabbos begins, bein hashmoshes, a person looks at this object and he says, wait a minute, am I going to use the hammer on Shabbos? Definitely not. I'm not going to use the hammer on Shabbos because on Shabbos I'm not allowed to bang nails. So the reason why the hammer is muksa is because the hammer is an object which you have put out of your mind. The gam, in addition, the yesh locha shema yovo la sois malacha, you may come to malacha with them on Shabbos. Uchin asher l'taltal afil l'tzorech akli shlo yipasei v'yiganev. Therefore, here's a chumra, a kli, shemalach v'lisar. You're not allowed to. We really did this, so we do it anyway. You're not allowed to move a kli shemalach v'lisar because even if you're moving it for its own protection, I do not want it to get lost. I do not want it to get ruined. You're not allowed to move a kli shemalachdoi li'isser because you put this out of your mind before Shabbos began. V'loyhi tira. What is the only time you're allowed to move a kli shemalachdoi li'isser? Elo imkein hutzach l'Shabbos. I need the hammer to crack nuts. Kegoin liftsoya boyagoyzim or ulchasas v'mkelim, or I need to use as a cover. I have a hammer and I need it as a paperweight. Or v'liftoach by delis v'teva, I need to use this hammer or this kli to as a door stopper. Open a delis v'teva uchayotzei bo l'tzorch Shabbos. Oy, afina. Now notice what he says over here. L'tzorch Shabbos. When you want to use this kli shemachta li'isser l'tzorch gufay oy l'tzorch mekaymay. There's a catch. You have to need this for a Shabbos purpose. If I have absolutely no need, there's a room. And I want ventilation in this room. And I need to use the hammer. I want to use the hammer to keep the window open. The window was broken. I put the hammer. I stand up the hammer. It'll keep the window open. So there'll be ventilation in this room. Guess what? I don't need this room on Shabbos. This room, I have no use for. Why am I doing it now? Because tomorrow I'm going to need it. Tomorrow, so I want there's a shalachan also. I want that the room should be ventilated well. So I want to get it started. I want the air to circulate. So let me go take the hammer, open up the window in that room to keep the window open, to have that room should be prepared for ventilation later. But on Shabbos, do I need this room on Shabbos? No. Also, you're only allowed to move a kli shemalach li'isser l'tzorch gufay or l'tzorch mekoymay when you're moving it for a Shabbos purpose. I'm cracking nuts because I want to eat the nuts now on Shabbos.
Aren't you afraid that walking to the closet for where the nuts are, I may find a nail sticking out, and I may...
No, we're not afraid. We trust you. We're not afraid. Every time you walk into a room, aren't we afraid you'll turn on the lights? Turn off the lights? A person, you have to trust the person to some degree. There has to be at least some degree of trust. Yeah.
You have to have that machshav.
No, you do not. You do not have to have that machshav. You do not. That's the chiddush. You do not. You do not need to plan before Shabbos. I'm going to crack nuts. Therefore, I'm setting aside the hammer for this purpose. You do not. Definitely not.
So you can just...
Spontaneously go to the toolkit. Go to the toolkit as long as you're not moving other utensils. Just take the hammer out of the toolkit and take it and go and crack nuts. Someone yesterday mentioned a very interesting sechatim. So, a person comes to shul. What is a pen? A pen is a kli shemalach d'liyasa. Right? That's what a pen is. It's kli writing on Shabbos. So, are you allowed to touch a pen on Shabbos? No, it's muksa. Let's say it's going to get stolen, it's going to get lost, get ruined. But let's say I need its place. It's on the table. It's in my way. I want to set the table. You can pick it up, and you don't have to go use your elbow. You can pick it up to move it away. Let's say I'm learning. I'm preparing the daf. I'm learning, and I want to use it as a pointer. Are you allowed to? Yes. You're allowed to use a kli. Yes, you're allowed to use a kli. Shemalach de liyisur letzoyach gufay. Ad kadei kach. Someone told me a story. Yes, I forgot who told this to me. Person came to shul and the baal kriya. Some baalei kriya, they insist on using a yad. Right? And some baalei kriya doesn't mean anything to them. Rabbi Mesk, what do you prefer? You have any preference to a yad? You like using a yad?
They did a skip one time on me. I'm a lefty, so I have to be out of my left hand, but it doesn't work. And I used to twirl it while I learned.
Okay.
I didn't realize it until
some baalei kriya, they insist on using a yad. Some baalei kriya insist on not using a yad.
What is yad?
What? A yad, a pointer. A silver pointer. Etzba, right? Etzba alukim. So the shaila is so they have on, you know, they have on the sefer Torah. They have a yad. So you have a baal kriya, and he insists on using a yad. That's how he feels comfortable. And guess what? There's no yad. So he opened up. He opened up the drawer and took out a pen, and it's on Shabbos, and he used the pen as a yad. That's shocking, right? Now is he in violation of the halacha? Absolutely not. Absolutely has done nothing wrong. Why? Because it's a kli shemalach li isur letzarech gufay. Now, is it the right thing to do? Obviously, it's not l'kavod tzibur. It's not one to privately goes into hate. But you're doing this in the tzibur. It's obviously not in.
You have to show them. Start screaming, yelling at
them. I don't know. Someone told me this. What?
They probably fired him.
It's not. So here is an example where you're within the halacha.
Better than a hammer.
So think about it. I don't think it would go off well. I really don't think it would go off well. You go to a Shalom Zachar, someone has a Shalom Zachar, and they have nuts on the table, and there's no nutcracker. So the balabas goes into the back, and he brings out a hammer, and he's sitting there on the table with all of the rabbanim. Everyone is coming into the home to the Shalom Zachar with a hammer on the table, cracking nuts. For some reason, I don't think it's going to go off well.
Alright,
you're allowed to, that's correct. Very good shayla. You have a jar. You come into someone's, you have pliers, it's mutter. Use a kli, pliers, a kli shmalachtali, it's for boine, for attaching screws and things like that, and you want to go use a pliers to open up a jar, mutter. Kli shmalachtai li iser, litzarech gufai, for its a permissible purpose, to open up a jar. And using Litzarech Shabbat as motor, but just, it's a good idea that you should do it privately. Don't take the hammer to crack the nuts for your Shalom Zachar, so crack all the nuts up before everyone, all your guests arrive. Or you have pliers, open up the container before the people arrive. You go and take the pliers when everyone is in front of you, and you're going to use the pliers to break open the jar, and when all the people are sitting around you, it's mutter. Anyone that knows halach will tell you it's mutter. But obviously, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos to do something like this in public. Okay, let's go further.
Excuse me, a person can say tonight for one Shabbat to use the hammer for.
You don't need it tonight. That was Mr. Rappaport's question. You do not need it tonight. You do not need it tonight. In this case, a kli shemalach le isur does not need it tonight. It's instant. You can use it right away. Let's go further. Because it's a given that a person needs the hammer to break nuts. A person wants to move away the pen from the table because he wants to set up the table for a Suda Shabbos. You do not. Because during the week that you do the same thing. He's saying another yisoid that during the week when the pen is on the table, you move it to the side. When you sometimes during the week that you use your hammer to break nuts. Therefore, in Shabbat it's no different. Since that we discussed yesterday, a subterfuge. If you have on the table a pen. And you don't have any use for the table. And the only reason, unless you have an object, and the pen is very expensive, very delicate, and you are afraid that it's going to get ruined, because there are children running around, whatever the situation is, it's going to fall on the floor, whatever the situation is. So therefore you want to move it. It's a kli shemalach li yisr, and you want to put it away in a safe place. You're not allowed to. A kli shemalach li yisr is muksa. You're not allowed to be metaltal because of geneva or hefsid. So what can you do? The solution is, you know what? Let's have a snack. Let's sit down and have. This is the perfect place to have a snack. Come join me. You sit down on the table. You bring out your potato chips and your pretzels on the table. You put it down. Oh, look at that. This pen's in the way. It's in the way. It's a kli shemalach to liyaser. Letzach mekaymai. I can't put down the potato chips where I want. Letzach mekaymai. So I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to bring, once I pick it up. Once you pick it up, you can put it down wherever you want. I'm going to bring it into my bedroom and put it down on the dresser. So what have you done? What's the primary reason why I'm moving the pen? Primarily because I'm afraid it's going to get ruined. It's going to get damaged. So that's my primary kavana. But since I'm also doing it because I needed space, I have a legal loophole, I want to go have a little snack here with my family, so it's only a secondary reason, it's okay. If you're doing it for a permissible purpose, even though that's not your primary purpose, this leniency laws of mukhsa, so it is permitted. Okay, that's
by alachta. What said we can do it?
Alachta. Yes. So alachta is worse. Alachta, we have to come back and discuss about it. Alachta, it's not just a klish malachta. It's a basis ledover ha'asra.
Right.
The flame itself is not a kli. Why is a leichter muksa? Why is a leichter muksa? Because the leichter is supporting fire.
Okay.
Fire is not a kli. Fire is an object, is something intangible, which is be'etzem osser. Once something is upgraded into the category of a utensil, you're home free. This is a very important rule in muksa. If it's a kli, if it's a utensil, you now enter into a world where you can find a leniency very easily. But if you have an object which is not a kli, a stone, earth, or waste, human waste, or a flame is, it's not a utensil. A flame is something which is an object which is inherently osur. Why? Because you don't touch it. You don't touch it because you'll get burnt. And also, fire is a malacha. Havara on Shabbos, lighting a candle on Shabbos is an Isser Deraisa. So it's Muksa Machmas Isser. It's not a Kli Shemalachtoi Li Isser. It's Isser itself. And then everything underneath it becomes a basis to that, which shares the same status as the Isser itself. So we have to get back and discuss it a little bit later on.
A cigarette lighter is a Kli
Shemalachtoi Li Isser. It's a utensil. It's an object. And it's used to create fire. So it's a kli shemalachta liyaser. Same thing. You can move it to the side on Shabbos, but not if you want to protect it, to prevent it from getting lost or getting stolen. Halacha, hey, okay. The point that we're doing is we're trying to go through the yesodos. At least we should be familiar with some of the concepts from the source. Chai Adam, and this is gold. And then when we have all of these yesodos, at least to some degree, percolating in our mind, we will then go through some of the more practical applications from some of the very excellent, some even have on the show. I see they have some excellent stuff over here. The article Muksa and Rabbi Badner has a sefer on Muksa, and there are others from Muksa. Then we'll at least have more of an appreciation when we deal with modern day shilas relating to Muksa, the question we can relate to. Halacha, hey. Lefichach. Okay, here's another example. This may not be so relevant to us because we don't make shoes. But if you're a shoemaker, a minel chadash mutter, l'shamta mi'al adufus. If you have a new shoe that's on a defus on a form, afal pisha adufus malachtei le'iser. So the defus is a kli shemalachtei le'iser. Why is the form? Because you use the form. You fashion a shoe around the mold. So the form is a kli shemalachta liyaser. So now there's a brand new shoe that's around the mold. You want to take off that shoe and wear it. But by taking off the shoe, you're going to be moving the mold. And the mold is a kli shemalachta liyaser. Shatfus malachta liyaser. Kaven, since the shame kli olav, mutur letalta letzach mekaymai, tahainu haminal. So I want to pull the shoe off. So this is a very important lumbus. What is called letzach mekaymai? So the simple case is, I have a pen on the table. I want to put down a plate. It's in my way. I need its makom, so I can pick it up in a normal way. I don't have to put my elbow. I can pick it up in a normal way and move it to the side. But if I have a mold, and there's a shoe around the mold, and I want to remove the shoe, and by removing the shoe, I'm moving the mold, is that called a tzarech mekoymai? That's not called a tzarech mekoymai. That's not your classic example of the tzarech mekoymai. That is, I want the shoe. And the way I'm going to get the shoe is by maneuvering it, pulling it off the mold, and the mold is going to move it. Is that called I need the mokoyim of the mold? I don't need the mokoyim, I need the shoe. So he says no. That in halacha is considered also to be the place of the mold. Because what is on the mold is the shoe. That's what I need. That's the mokoyim. And by moving it, I ran out. I'm almost finished anyway. Therefore, that's why it's going to
Pan. If you need a cake on Shabbos, is a baking pan considered
A baking pan is a kli shemlachta leheter. A baking pan is not muksa. A baking pan is a kli because it's a pan. A pan is a utensil. We had it before. We had it yesterday.
How about a baking mold?
No, it doesn't matter. A pan, even though you use it to bake, which is a melacha deraisa, but pans are also used for storage. After you finish baking the cake, you put the cake in the refrigerator. So it's storage. So that's a kli shemalachta leheter. A pan is a kli shemalachta leheter ule issa. It's both. A pot is used for cooking. That's awesome. But a pot is also used for storage when you finish cooking. So any utensil which is both kli shemalachta leheter ule issa has the status of kli shemalachta leheter. And a kli shemalachta leheter is basically not muksa at all. We learned yesterday not so fast. You have to have a purpose. You can't just twiddle your thumbs. This is not a fidget spinner. Okay, a kli shemalachta leheter is not a fidget. Fidget spinner, the whole purpose of a fidget spinner is just you're doing nothing, just for no reason. You're just spinning for no reason. You're not allowed to use a kli shemalachta leheter as a fidget spinner. Think about it. It's an interesting idea. You have a pan. I just want to take the pan and spin it, right? Spin the pan the whole day. You're not allowed to. You have to have a purpose.
That's the same purpose.
Is that the purpose for the mind?
People say that with silverware too. You know?
Oh, silverware! Silverware is mutter even as a fidget spinner. Oh, we mentioned that yesterday. Silverware, cutlery, is like food. You can take food and you can move food around for no purpose whatsoever. Mindless activity. Take a potato. Take an apple. And move it wherever you want for absolutely no purpose. A kli shemalachta leheter, a cup, a utensil, you're not allowed to, you're only allowed to move around on Shabbos for a reason. A very weak reason, but there has to be a reason. You just can't do it for no reason whatsoever. Cutlery is a unique exception to the halacha. Cutlery, I don't know why, but it says in all the Sfarim, it has the same status as food. And you can move it around for no reason whatsoever. But plates and cups, those things, you're not allowed to just stomp for no reason. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason. Okay, children want to go do some type of, I don't know, they want to go build something, whatever, like toys. It's a purpose. But you have to have a purpose. Now, so here...
Which kind of the rules are mukse?
What would be not a purpose?
Limudei chol.
Kol olam gvar.
Sifrei limudei chol is not mukse?
What?
Sifrei limudei chol.
They're not muksa. Books are never muksa. Even secular books are never muksa. Definitely not.
You mentioned on your shoes on the foot, but there is shoes. There is contraption for expensive shoes. Inside is like a spring. It keeps it always.
Okay, so then you so you're discussing the what are they called?
A shoe tree.
Okay, so a shoe tree. I don't know the answer. I think it's mutter. It's better. It has to be better. Then the mold. This is where you're making the shoe for the very first time. Uh-huh. So you make it for the very first time. You're mamish using the kli to make the shoe. It's a kli shemalach leliyaser. The shoe trees. They're just to keep the shoes in shape. So it's not even. It's not a right. What you can even put it on Shabbos. It's not a kli shemalach leliyaser. Understand? The shoe trees. They're fine. So there's a spring. So a window also has springs. Doors have springs. Everything has springs. A lot of mechanisms. There are very sophisticated things you can do on Shabbos. A lot of things you can do on Shabbos. It's mutter. A shoe tree, I do not believe, is muksa at all. It's not a kli shemalachta le'iser. You're not doing an aveira by putting the shoe tree into the shoe. You're just preserving its shape. What he's discussing, it's not practical for us because this is it. When they make the shoe, they actually use it to do a melacha d'oraisa. By taking the leather and shaping and forming it, they're doing a melacha d'oraisa. So now on Shabbos you want to remove it. It's mutter because it's l'tzarech mekoymai. Okay, so therefore, he goes on. Let's go further over here. There's no difference. The second line, hey, in chilik bein lito l'adafus mitoch aminu l'adafus. It doesn't make a difference how you take out the shoe. Sometimes you can take out the shoe, you remove the shoe from the defus, or you can remove the defus from the shoe. Like this, like typical when it comes to some little Shabbos, whatever you do during the weekday, do the opposite on Shabbos. Right? When you prepare food, When you prepare food, when you want to make a batter of food, you want to mix solid with a liquid. So you have to make a belila racha. It has to be a loose batter. What do you put in first, the liquid or do you put in the solid? So the rule of thumb is, whatever you do during the week, on Shabbos you should do the opposite. There's no such rule here that you should do on Shabbos the opposite. The mold is muksa, period. It's a kli shemalachdali iser. It's mutter to be metalta letzarech mekoymai. Therefore, you can take off the shoe from the mold, even though in the process you're moving it, and it makes no difference how you get the shoe out. Either you can take the shoe from the mold or take the mold from the shoe. It doesn't make a difference. Let's go further. Okay, third line. Okay, it's on a hanger. Or some type of stretch. The new garment they put on some type, also like a mold, some type of a mold. They put the garment. If this piece of wood upon which you have fashioned, you have formed this garment is a utensil, mutter mitaychai, because it's a kli shemalachdali yisil tzarich guf ul mekayma is mutter. V'im einoi kli. So here is something a little bit. Let's say it's not a kli. Let's say you personally made a jacket. And he put it and he fashioned it on a piece of wood. And the piece of wood is not a utensil. It's a makeshift, some type of a makeshift thing that you've used for yourself. You cannot consider this 2x4 to be considered a kli. It's not. Building materials are not kalim. 2x4s and leftover lumber is muksa machmas atznoi. They're not kalim. They're not utensils. Raw material is a much more severe form of muksa. The im einoi kli shaim de minakone. So here there is the rule that if you have a shirt on a 2x4, you have to remove the shirt from the 2x4, not to take the 2x4 from the shirt.
How about the shirt on a mannequin?
So a mannequin l'chor is a kli. Maybe it's not even that. The mannequin is a utensil. And our type of mannequins are, I would assume, is a kli shemalachta leheter. It's not a kli shemalachta leisr. Again, the dealing over here with mannequins that are being used to make the shirt for the very first time. Okay, so the designer, I don't know how they do this, the designers or computers or people, they take this mannequin and around the mannequin they design clothing. So they use the mannequin in order to do things which are malacha deraisa. The mannequins you see in the store, in a window display, they're not used to create anything. They're there to display. That's a kli. It's a kli. A mannequin is certainly a utensil. Shemalachta leheter. There's no malacha. There's nothing wrong putting a shirt on a mannequin for display. So lechayr, a kli shemalachta leheter is mutter. You can move around on Shabbos. There's no prohibition as long as you have a purpose.
Take it off the mannequin and wear it.
Right. You cannot do it. Take it. You can take it off. There's nothing. There's no issue. You can even move it around if it's in your way. For every reason, you can move it around. We're dealing here with a special type of mannequin which is only used when you actually create the shirt for the first time. That upgrades the mannequin into a kli shemalachta le'isser. If it's a kli shemalachta le'isser, you're not allowed it. It's muksa. When is it permitted? Tzarech mekoymai. What's called tzarech mekoymai? I can take the shirt off the mannequin. That's also called a tzarech mekoymai.
If now, someone is going to put suit on the mannequin,
yes, it's mutter.
And one of the leg or that is going to break.
And it's going to break. It's made of parts. So yeah. That we discussed. They mentioned that yesterday. If something, you have a kli that's made of parts. Very good. A kli that's made from parts. It's a halach and shulchanoch. You're not allowed to move. That kli is muksa on Shabbos. Because if the parts can fall out, it's awesome. Because when you're going to move the kli, there's a concern the parts will come out. And what's so terrible? You'll put them back in. And if the parts are parts which have to be tightly put back into place, that's the malach of boine on Shabbos. So any utensil that is made from multiple parts, which are tightly pressed into place, and there is a possibility, even a small possibility, that when you move it, the parts will come out, and you have to make that determination, then you're not allowed to move that kli on Shabbos because of a gezera, it's muksa, because of a gezera, that when you'll move it, the parts will come out, and you'll forget yourself, and you'll put the parts back tightly into place, which will violate the malacha deraisa of bainim.
If it is only one piece, not...
Even one piece, even if it's two pieces that come together,
One piece.
If it's one piece, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. But if you have a mannequin that has arms and legs, and the arms and legs can come out, then
no,
you...
Not coming up. Breaking. It is one piece.
Okay, we have to go further. Okay, I'll go further. If the parts are meant to come out, they easily come out. That's how. Then it's also mutter. Anything that is meant to be taken apart, that's the way it's used to take it apart. Often, that's also a heter. That is another topic which we'll have to come to later on. Let's just try to finish the page here. Okay, I want to discuss some other important things. The im hakana who kli mutl tali lumi b'toychel v'im ena kli shodim ena kana avo aslu kli hakana b'menu. You now let's take now. If it's not a kli, it's a 2x4. You put a 2x4 from shoulder to shoulder, and now you want to take the shirt off the 2x4 on Shabbos, you're in trouble. Also, little me akonim imenu kevin she'en alav taras kli di'ina ke'etzim b'avonim li'del tifor smamash muksa. Then you're not allowed to take the kone, the piece of wood from the shirt. If you can take the shirt off the wood, go right ahead, but make sure you don't move it. If this piece of wood is firmly in place, somehow you put it on a stand, you have a 2x4, you attach to the ground and you have a 2x4 on top, right? Like a T. One piece of wood going up, a piece of wood going across, and it's not moving. It's firmly in place, and you stretched a jacket on this thing on top, so then you can take the jacket off as long as you don't cause the wood to move. But if you want to go and somehow pull the wood out, you're not allowed to, because the wood is not a utensil. It's muksa machmas atzmai, and an object that's muksa machmas atzmo may not be moved, even litzorech mekoymai. Halacha vav.
Doesn't it become a utensil when you put the shirt on?
No, not necessarily. Just because for you, you're using it as a utensil, does not make it into a utensil. I don't know the rules. It's very complicated. When does something become a utensil? When is it still considered just a piece of wood? A piece of wood generally is not a utensil. You're using it like a utensil, but that does not necessarily make it into a utensil. Halacha has very strict standards of what is called a utensil. It has to be a special maisa, has to be done to the piece of wood itself to show that it's a utensil. It has to be cut in a certain way, carved, a special stand. Just to take a piece of wood from the floor and go put it like this and bang a nail does not automatically make it into a utensil. To have something significant to make it into a kli.
Collar stays. Can you insert collar?
Yes, collar stays mutter. You're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. It's not called carrying. Yes, I believe, yes. You are allowed to put a collar stay in the shirt on Shabbos and walk out in the street with it on Shabbos. It's not called carrying. It's part of the shirt. And putting it into the shirt, that's not called a chibur. It's not a significant, you're not sewing it. You're not doing anything. Just putting something in its place, like tying a button. On Shabbos, you like to close the button. Of course, you can put a button in. So you can put a collar stay. You're not doing anything that is a chibur deraisa, and it's derech levisha. Derech levisha keeps the collar in place. So there's no issue whatsoever. Collar stays can be put in and can be taken out, and can be worn in the street in a place where there is no erev. Okay, halacha vav. Dvarim shehem muksa machmas chisorn kis. Now this is a very severe type of muksa. Over here we already went through all the different categories. Now we're discussing what are the exceptions. We know it's muksa, but when can I move it? So here it says, "Vamshem muksam muksam machmas chon kis kuvol el sim chafeis tan zayin chesn tes kevan shemach b'aleim shlo mishamish b'chem b'chom b'vishun tashmish v'im kein maksav esam midayit legamri." You put them aside. The chen mekatsa machmas noilat. Anything that has become that has been put aside because of noilat or machmas tadachim v'daim. All different types of muksa of noilat. It came into existence on Shabbos, or you actually put this away. The chen kol davar shum like the dried figs and the dried grapes on the roof. V'chein kol davar shemaksa machmas sheni roi l'shun tashmish. K'mul el panvav. V'chein muksa machmas mitzvah. Like your esrog. K'evon shekol ze'odah makatsa midet l'gamri. V'l'chein afilu l'tzarech. So here is the bottom line. L'chein afilu l'tzarech gufon oy mekoymon asun. Anything noilat or your esrog, it appears in esrog, that's set aside for your mitzvah and it's Shabbos, Erev Sukkis, it's muksa machmas mitzvah, or it's muksa machmas chesaron kis. It's very expensive. You don't want to play around with this very, what was that painting that was just sold now for how many millions of dollars?
$450 million? Actually, it was only $450 million for transportation.
Security. Okay, so l'chayra, that painting, L'chaira, is Muksa Macham Sarn Kis. Right? If it's on the table, I would imagine $450 million. It's Muksa Macham Sarn Kis. Mistama, it qualifies, right? L'chaira Deis. Even a Chazanish, Shia, $450. So, what?
What is the question?
No question. It's Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis. There's no question. It's Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis, and you're not allowed to move it. Even if I want to eat, I want to have Suda Shabbos. Please, Suda Shabbos. The painting is in the way. It's in the way. It's only $450 million. I mean, what's $450 million today? I mean, what could it buy for you today? $450 million. So I want to move it out of my way. I want to eat my potato chips through the Shabbos. So the halach is too bad. Too bad. You can't have your potato chips on Shabbos. It's muksa machmas chesaron kis. Weiter. The rule is the only time we have a halach, you're allowed to move it letzach gufay or letzach mekaymai is muksa machmas isra a klish shemalach leisra. Kevin sheish toras kelim aleim v'loy mekatz also midayt legami of kol hashar max legami. Everything else, every other type of muksa above that. Is Osir Afilu Litzach Gufay Umakamah. Let's do three lines because I want to get the next page. So, therefore, in Mechen Isam, Mutar Litaltlan. Now, here's the Chiddush. If you prepare them, if you prepare, now he's not telling you exactly what you're preparing. It's a little bit confusing. If you prepare something which is Muksa, then it's permitted to move it on Shabbos. Now, it's not telling you what are you preparing? The painting? What are you preparing? The hammer? What are you preparing exactly? What becomes mutter? So he explains. The general rule is, if you, before Shabbos begin, you pick up your object and you say, L'shem Kiddusha Shabbos. I want to be able to move this on Shabbos. I don't want this to be muksa. It's going to work to some degree. But you have to know all the rules. It's not the same. The muksa migufay hamavur b'pan vav im yachtu l'tashmish harez al yidei zeh dinei kekli. So here we go. If it's muksa machmas atzmite, like let's say lumber, pieces of wood, bricks, building materials, these are not utensils, these are muksa machmas atzmite. So now by designating it, picked up, I hereby designate this brick to be something I'm going to use on Shabbos, it is now transformed into the status of a utensil. Therefore, l'chein, imhu tashmish, shederech, liyache dover zeh l'tashmish zeh. For example, if there's a tashmish which the derech is to use this object for this purpose, could go in Evan is muksa machmas atzmai. It's not a utensil. Shadaka, it's the derech people do occasionally take stones and they designate to break knots. Shadaka b'kach liyakim l'psoyabai. To break knots. One second, let me find the page. Kuf kaf. Only two lines, but I want to go on. Can I borrow yours for one second? Thank you very much. For example, a goyzim, sage, b'yichud lo l'zeh mi'erev Shabbos. It's enough. Av al pi sh'einim yachta b'hedya l'shtameh shpoy l'olam, even though you do not designate to use this stone to crack nuts for every single Shabbos. I just want to use this stone to crack nuts this particular Shabbos. It works. Vim roitzel l'shtamish boi dover sh'ein derech liachta l'kach kegoin, sh'roitzem l'chasez boi kelim. I want to use a stone as a paperweight to cover kelim, or the lismech boi delis, or to support a door, I guess, to hold the door open, or l'hakos boi birza, to open the spout. You have the faucet doesn't open well, so you need to give it a zetz. So you need a nice heavy brick to hit the spout, to open the spout. Shedvarim Elohim rak b'mikra ve'enifdim. No one does this. This is something which is not accepted. People use stones occasionally. That's why you get to the modern day application, because it's very, very complicated. But here in ancient times, stones, people use occasionally to break nuts. But when it came to doing these other examples, to paperweights, no one ever did this. This is bizarre. The afshe yishtamesh b'zel l'pamim, takeif achar hatashmer zarko, even during the week when you do this, right after you do it, you throw it in the garbage. The roitzel yachid eitz ve'evin l'mlochis elu. If you really want to do it, then you have to go and smooth it out. You have to do professional labor in order to make it appropriate for this purpose. Therefore, here's the point we're going to stop with. Loy mahani imiyachadoy l'tash mishl shabizo. If you want to do something which is bizarre, no one does this. This is not acceptable. It is not acceptable in our society to use a hammer as, I don't know, as a paperweight. Maybe that's an example. Today, who would do that? No one's going to do that. People don't do that. It's not normal. Not even occasionally. People don't even do this, so it's not normal. But you want to go use on Shabbos the hammer as a paperweight. Does your designation, so now when it's Erev Shabbos, on my way to Mincha, Erev Shabbos, you pick up the hammer, I'm hereby designating the hammer to be something that I'm going to use as a paperweight. Guess what? Batloi daitoi eitzel koladam. Your designation does not work. It's what you're doing is not normal. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. No one ever does this. It's so bizarre. It remains muksa. It remains muksa. Unless there is one way you can beat the system. Unless you designate this for the rest of my life. I will never use this hammer to bang in a nail for the rest of my life. I will only use this hammer for the rest of my life to serve as a paperweight. For the rest of my life. Then you are within your rights to designate it, and now it's no longer muksa on Shabbos to use as a paperweight.
That but you can never use it as a hammer.
You can never, but the designation must be a sincere designation that from now on the primary use, I'm assuming the primary use is going to be a paperweight, and you don't have to even articulate this even just b'machshava b'alma, it is sufficient. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Take a short break, and then we're going to